Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want a cup of joe with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to the Long Take, or LCB, episode 86, let's say.
I think it is 86.
No, it's not. Wait, it's really 86, is it?
I actually think it is 86.
I just said the first number. I knew it was above 60, and that's the only my only guiding light there. Today we are going to do a couple news items, nothing crazy, but we're also going to be doing, more importantly, draft of sequels alongside Mr. Clem and Eddie. Fellas, we already talked to Clem for like 10 minutes, but Eddie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be back. Gooch, we're gonna hit this in one try today. We're recording, everything's going well.
We're recording. All right. So yes, that's as far as we've gotten. I there's no promises on whether or not this audio works. I think this should work.
That's the beauty of Riverside. So today, again, going to do a couple things, but we also have another little, let's say, a little nugget that you guys are going to enjoy, a little game that you guys, I think, will really like. But we'll talk about that after, really quick, some news items. First thing. A lot of people were upset about this, but I think it was a foregone conclusion at this point. David Fincher said that Mindhunter's dead because it's too expensive and not enough people like it. Mindhunter was an awesome show. First two seasons were great. There is obviously a lot of production value you got to put into something to make it look 70s and 80s. I feel like the audience was solid, probably more than the trillion garbage shows Netflix produces every single year, but it sucks. But Fincher's also under contract with Netflix for like an 80-picture deal, so it's not like he's going anywhere, really. Were you guys Mindhunter people or no?
Not a Mindhunter guy right here. But it's one of those things where you see the kind of those kind of words about something that get canceled, and it just like brings you back to all the shows you had that you love. Like, I'm an Arrested Development fan, and it always broke my heart when something so good just gets taken away because of ratings. I remember fucking Friday Night Lights. I feel like every year they had to like beg to get the show back for another season.
Yeah.
And everyone who watched it loved it. It was like the most, I don't understand the TV. I don't understand how any business works, but the TV business in particular, I really don't understand. So that's a bummer, man.
Arrested Development's leaving Netflix at the end of March, by the way, just so you know.
And it won't be anywhere, I don't think. Right?
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's going to exist anywhere
which
else.
Which is wild. Also, funniest example of like the TV show like begging to get money is you remember when Chuck on NBC every single season was a fucking battle for them. One season they had to have Subway in every single episode because they made a deal with Subway. They did like a Nissan deal one season where they had Nissan cars featured and they had to talk about like the car.
Oh my God. That's probably a pretty fun. If you think anyone's ever cut that up on like a YouTube, just every time they mention Subway in season 4 of Chuck, I'd watch the shit out of that.
Zachary Levi, when we did our interview, he's talking about, he's like, it was the most fucking, like, he's like, we had to do multiple takes because we were laughing so hard, like reading the script. Like, we're like in the back of a van. We're like, yeah, this van gets 20 miles to the gallon. We're good to go.
I watched a couple episodes of the first season. I should be a Mindhunter guy because I'm very into that kind of shit. But I know like the Mindhunter people run deep. Like the people are very upset about this. And I just chalk it up to, you guys watch Barry, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that one episode when her show got canceled and they're like, yeah, we just typed it into the algorithm and like they just told us people, they're like, well, what are you talking about? It has great reviews. And that's just the world we live in now, right? It's all a fucking algorithm. It's all about who's watching what, and it fucking sucks. That's what's going to happen to more and more shows.
Mm-hmm. It's like the TikTok algorithm is picking up Love is Blind more than Mindhunter, so we got to stick with them instead. It's
exactly.
Like, well, that sucks.
It's also funny. We're kind of proving the point that Clem and Eddie have not watched the show.
Yeah.
So it's not for the average viewer. But the thing that gets me is, like, it's not profitable, which I'd like to see how unprofitable it is. Like, if it's hemorrhaging money, that's one thing. But I can't imagine it was. I don't think every single project on every platform needs to be a massive moneymaker. I think some things need to be like just building the brand. Like, Netflix needs those prestige shows. Otherwise, they're just going to be known as the shit, like shit pumper, like pumping out shit. Like, having stuff like Mindhunter gives them some credibility. I think it's good for their brand. Like, take what a little bit of a loss there.
Was Bloodline. Take a haircut. Did you guys watch
Bloodline? Yeah, that season two was great. Season one, I didn't totally care for.
My roommate loved that show. That's the one with Coach Taylor, right?
Yeah, and Ben Mendelsohn. I think Sam Shepard, before he passed, was in the first one. SpaceX, or fuck, what's her name? Stacey Spacek,
Linda,
right?
Linda Cardellini.
Yeah, and a couple other people. Yeah, yeah. Linda Cardellini, that too. That's right. Yeah. She's a sister. Damn, good show. I had again, first season, really good. After that, got a little.
Yeah.
A little dicier. Also, a good example of that, of like shows production costs killing it, is, I don't know if you guys have ever seen HBO's show Rome from like the mid-2000s. They had this really, really cool, it was a really expensive show just about the Roman Empire, like Julius Caesar's rise and fall. And like, it wasn't based, like, he wasn't the main character. It was like these two random like legionary dudes. Awesome show. Cost HBO like $1 trillion to make, so they had to cancel it, which is a bummer, but great show.
I remember those commercials. I never watched it, but I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the greatest show ever. Just because, like, it was HBO just throwing their dick on the table, right? And I guess it did seem like, but again, I couldn't talk to one person who watched 1 minute of that show. So it sounds like that's kind of like the HBO version of all that. By the way, just going to put this out on the table. Ed, you saw this last time. This is currently, last time I was on the dog walk. Both kids were sick. Both kids are currently on winter break right now. My wife does not have off this week, so both kids are upstairs.
What?
So there might be kids.
Wait,
just
what? Winter break?
Winter break in February?
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing apparently here in at least my kids' school district. We always had like a February week off. I guess you guys never had that, huh?
No.
Christmas, and then it was that until spring break.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so Christmas break is obviously Christmas time. Spring break is, you know, April or so. And then you'd occasionally get this, I think, winter break. Ed, not for you either, huh?
No, no. Just Christmas.
Man, I honestly, like, you know when you think you're the Truman Show and people are just pranking you? I'm starting to think this is what my life is. These kids, I don't think I've left the house since, like, 2020 lockdown. I feel like they've just constantly been buzzing me every single time. And I work from home, but I'm also, like, trying to do stuff like this. So if anyone comes down, I apologize. Maybe I'll let them make a pick, you know, give their takes on Mindhunter. We'll just kind of see what happens here.
Very curious what the Clem kids think about Sisu, the movie about a Finnish miner destroying Nazis, blowing them into smithereens, which actually I had to text Clem about before I blogged it, because I was like, I say the word Nazi a lot in the blog. It's about blowing up Nazis, destroying Nazis, killing them violently. But you still say the word Nazi. It's like, I got to double check, right?
Yeah. First of all, both kids, staunch anti-Nazi. AJ says he hates Nazis more than anything in the world. Hates it more than taking naps.
Which I dug up some old posts from AJ.
God damn, I thought we deleted all those. Yeah, Ken Jack, you did write that post, because we have a note in the blog back end where it says no writing about Nazis, but it's because, like, there was like a couple of people who were writing about Kanye, and it's like, we don't need it to like give takes on Kanye. And not all of them were like, there was some takes where it's like, Kanye is like a creative genius. Like, we're not going to talk Kanye when Kanye was doing Kanye shit a few months ago. We're not even going to leave. We could cut this in the post, actually. We don't even need to talk about that. But this trailer, killing Nazis always plays. Always, you have a cute dog, you're killing Nazis, and you have violence. Everyone should just follow Sisu's model for their trailers going forward and their movies, to be honest. And I think you're going to get my ticket, because I love seeing Nazis get killed, because fuck them.
Yeah, I think that was my biggest point in the blog, was just like, hey, look, this is the number one way to get your audience behind you is when you're killing Nazis, because they are the most unsympathetic bad guys there are. It's so easy to get everyone rally around them. And then, like, now most action movies, they switch over to the mercenary route, where they're like, hey, we don't want to make the Russians or the Chinese our bad guys, because then when we want to sell this movie overseas, they won't buy it. And like, we just have to make a vague mercenary bad guy. But Nazis, real.
They're never that vague, though. It'll just be a guy with an Eastern European accent. You'd be like, oh, well, I know who that's supposed to be.
Yeah,
like,
just make it them. Oh, it's so annoying. I don't know. But
I wonder who these Chinese people could be working for.
But the trailer was awesome. Eddie, what did you think of it?
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
not, I guess, the biggest war guy, war movie guy, I should say. But it looked pretty good. I think I would definitely see it.
Old man fighting Nazis version of John Wick, basically, right?
It really is. Someone said it's like a good addition to the, like a new genre of film that started to arise, which is just the one man army takes down people creatively. Like mm-hmm. we had John Wick, we had Nobody with Bob Odenkirk. And then we had, what was the one with fucking.
A lot of girl ones.
Hit Level. What was it?
Hit Level. I'm trying to think like Atomic Blonde or something. Because like that's also on that sort of level.
But that brand of movie has really taken off and like since John Wick really came out. And it is a fun little genre. Like it's very much like I know people don't love the turn your brain off term, but like that's great turn your brain off television. Like just turn your brain off, enjoy the kills.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's really the only two news items I really wanted to touch on. But now before we get into our draft, I called it a little quiz because initially when I was talking to Eddie, getting him on, because we were initially going to have Robbie and Clem and do a Marvel draft. But when we got Eddie, because Robbie had a drop, where I was like, why don't we do something maybe more sports oriented? And I was thinking a random athlete name draft at first. But in lieu of that, because we're switched over to doing a movie sequels draft, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of an NFL quiz about your own teams.
Oh.
And whoever gets the most questions right is going to win. And it's geared towards your specific team. So Clem, you're up first. You ready?
Let's go.
This Giants tight end finished 2015 with the fourth most yards on the team, just behind Shane Vereen and Reuben Randle.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's my guy. Is that Larry Donnell?
No, you're very close. It's a very similar dude.
2015. Those are some dark days. Oh, the Black Unicorn, Martellus Bennett.
No, still wrong.
God damn it.
Boss?
Shit.
Is it Ingram? No, that was before.
Is it Ingram?
No, not Ingram. Before Ingram.
2015, so that was when I first started covering him. Fuck, I would have bet my life on Donnell.
He was only there for like 2 years. Like 2 years, but he was like, oh, everyone's like, oh, maybe he'll do it. He didn't wear a tight end number two, which was infuriating. He wore like 45.
Travis Beckham?
No. It's Will Tye.
Will Tye. Oh, I didn't like Will Tye. Now I like him even less because I just got embarrassed on the podcast not remembering him. Fuck Will Tye.
All right, Clem. Name one of Eli's.
His brother plays baseball. His name is Won't.
Well, yes. Name one of Eli's two backup quarterbacks on the 2007 Super Bowl team.
The GOAT, man. Our boy, Pillsbury Throw Boy.
Jared, oh yeah, that's right. That's your boy too.
He's got this whole thing started, man, with the churning stuff. It sounds like that's one of like that was a fun fact I never knew, man. Just an absolute sweetheart. RIP.
All right, last one. This is the hardest one, I think. This tight end was second string to Jake Bauer during the 2011 Super Bowl season. He later played with the Falcons and the Lions. It's a cool name. Really cool
Bear
name.
Bear Pasco.
Yeah, Bear Pasco. I didn't know if you were going to get that one. That was the hardest one, I thought.
That I almost guessed Bear Pasco for the other one, but I was like, I don't think he lasted till 15. I love Bear Pasco. So, Eli, if you look at it, those Super Bowl runs were fueled by slow white tight ends because 07, they had Shockey. He got hurt at the end of 07, which was like, we're like, oh, fuck. I don't know if we can even make a run in the playoffs without Shockey. And then you had Kevin Boss, Jake Ballard, and Bear Pasco. So something about like these slow mule tight ends Eli just like loved throwing to and would just win Super Bowls with them. It was glorious. And Ballard got hurt, and then Pasco comes in to pick him up. Just an unbelievable run.
All right. Eddie, you ready?
Ready to go.
Name one running back on the 2010 Bears roster, not named Matt Forte.
2010 Bears roster. Adrian Peterson?
No.
That guy fucked a lot of fantasy drafts up.
Yes,
that one?
Correct.
Yeah.
The fake Adrian Peterson.
And it's hard to guess because I think Matt Forte, like he caught every ball and he ran every ball for that team. Like he was their entire offense, literally.
Yeah.
Was Marion Barber on that team?
This is a little bit after, I think. There's one where it's like you're going to hear his name and you're going to be like, oh, I think I had him in fantasy. One of those type of dudes.
Yeah, so you're saying this guy was pretty good then.
I don't even know if I can say pretty good, but he's a name.
Michael Bush.
Is there a – ooh.
So Khalil Bell is one.
Okay.
That's the one where I think you'd be like, oh, I had him maybe once. Chester Taylor, and then Garrett Wolfe, who didn't really play much.
Oh, shout out Garrett Wolfe.
This running back was second on the – yeah, Garrett Wolfe. This running back was second in the team in rushing yards behind Cedric Benson in 2007 after Thomas Jones left.
2007.
May have just said his name recently.
Oh, so I did say it. All right. Was that Michael Bush?
No.
I said his name. So
by the way, Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson are big time dozen guys. Like that's Jeff's radar right there. I feel like that those are the kind of guys that are always in Jeff's brain.
Yeah. So was it the fake Adrian Peterson?
It was fake Adrian Peterson.
Okay. There we go.
And the last one, this defensive end led the Bears in sacks during their 2006 NFC Championship season.
That should be – is that Adewale Ogunleye?
No, he was second, I think, if I remember correctly.
Defensive end led the Bears in sacks in their 2006. Julius Peppers.
It's Mark Anderson.
Mark Anderson. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson. I was thinking the same thing.
All right. Now it's Gooch's turn.
Oh, okay.
This player was third on the team in receiving yards in 2015. He played 7 years in Cincy before playing his final year in Jacksonville in 2020. Third on the team in receiving yards in 2015. Played 7 years in Cincy before playing his final year in Jacksonville.
7 years in Cincy. Goddamn.
His final year was 2020 in Jacksonville.
His final year is 2020 in Jacksonville?
Yeah. Third on the team in receiving yards. I think there's a trickiness to this question that might make you not get
it. I'm thinking about the 2014 team, which was stacked, and that was Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu. It's not Mohamed Sanu, is it?
It is not.
I don't know. Brandon Lloyd?
There's a hint I can give you that will instantly give you the answer, basically, which is
Alvin Tate.
It's not a wide receiver. He just led the team, was third on the team in receiving yards.
Oh, then it's got to be Tyler Eifert.
It is Tyler Eifert.
Oh, Tyler Eifert. Notre Dame?
Yep.
Yeah. This player was second on the team in receiving yards behind A.J. Green in
2017.
I had no clue this person was even on the Bengals at any point.
LaFell?
It is Brandon LaFell. I only ever thought about him as a Patriot. Person, yeah. Right? Yeah.
He had a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Name the last three Bengals head coaches.
Oh, fuck. This is going to – so it's Zach Taylor, Marvin Lewis, and then right before him. It's not Wycheck.
It's not.
Fuck.
2 years, 2000 to 2022, if I remember right.
Yeah, I got nothing. I can't remember.
He went to a division rival as a defensive coordinator, I think, at least at some point. It's a cool name. Great name. Great football name.
Oh, I think –
he went to the Steelers, didn't he?
He did.
Fuck.
Clem, you got it?
I think so.
Yeah,
throw it out.
I'm like a low key Bengals fan. My AOL name was Blake Fan because I had Jeff Blake in my first fantasy league ever. He won me a championship, so the Bengals became my second team for like the 90s into the 2000s. And trust me, Gooch, I know the Bengal heartache because it's like being a Mets fan. It's just dumb shit, cheap owners, and you get your hopes up. You have 1 year of goodness, and then you just sink back down. Dick LeBeau, right?
Dick LeBeau. Yep,
that's what it is.
It's Dick LeBeau. Bruce Coslett was in that era. I'm telling you, I got way too much Bengals information in this head. Shout out Carl Pickens.
Should we make Bengals our niche?
Let's make 90s Bengals our niche because I'll tell you, no one's stealing that one.
Dude, 90s Bengals.
That's actually brilliant. That's a really smart – like just like pick a random team that like nobody was cared about. Pick Seattle or something in the 90s. Like who the fuck is going to know anything about Seattle in the 90s? Shit.
I also realized like memorizing like a 90-minute movie, like Brandon Walker did that thing you do. Like if you could just get a movie that's kind of short, has some things, and you just watch it a bunch of times, I think that's not a bad way to go, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Cons tried to, or was it Cons? He tried to do it with Jaws, and he did it like 3 weeks in a row and missed every single question.
I think that was Smitty,
one of a kind, that captain.
Smitty did that. Yeah, that was Smitty.
You're right, Smitty.
Another one of a kind.
Yes, very different type of one of a kind. All right, so let's do this draft. That was fun. I was just sitting there thinking of like what to add on, and I was just like, I am in the mood to talk about random NFL stuff because like there's this account I follow on TikTok that just all they do is post random NFL players' names like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, or whatever. Not always Bengals people, but like just names that make you think like, oh. And I love something I love about that. It's very primal in the dude DNA when you hear an old school player's name, they just go like, oh.
There's that tweet where people say like guys can just talk about like say a random name for hours. And I was like, let's just do that. So I want to do a thing, Barstool Reference,
yes,
where you just go to Baseball Reference page or Football Reference. You just start talk stats. Juan Gonzalez's page always blows my mind whenever I go. And then I get like Mixtape used to do that occasionally back in the day. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to just add that to our Mets podcast. We just go on Mets or just a random dude's fucking reference page and just start shooting the shit. I feel like that's just guys being dudes to the core of it right there.
Big time. All right, let's get into this draft. The draft of sequels doesn't necessarily need to be the second movie in a franchise. Can be any movie that came after the original. I did the order on the randomizer. It'll be me, then Eddie, then Clem, then Gooch. I think having back to back here is actually very beneficial.
Yeah, no, I actually like it. There's a lot of great ones. Exactly. And we're doing any sequel, right? It doesn't have to be number two.
No, it does not need to be number two.
It can be like, yeah, the third one or the sixth one.
Exactly. I think for my first overall pick, I don't have any other choice. It's actually the same first pick I had in our last draft, which is Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. It's impossible not to take it the number one spot. I just absolutely need to take it. It's I have it as 100 out of 100 on movierankings.net. One of the coolest movies, just like still to this day to watch. Battle of Hoth, one of the coolest battles like ever on screen. It's such a lovable movie. So many great moments, so many great lines. Got to pick it.
You have to. Yeah. It's not my favorite on my list, but I would have had to take it if I had the number one. It's the Andrew Luck. If you have the pick, you got to take it.
Yeah.
Like, you got to take it. You can't trade out. Have to take that spot.
No choice.
It kind of like made me, once I realized it is such a downer of a movie, like when you take a step back, I'm like, oh shit, it really is. And Hans and Carbonite, you don't know what's going to happen next. And I get really jealous of people like our guy, R.I. You know, R.I. saw this shit in the theater. He could probably give you a story. But hanging out with R.I. in Arizona, so wasn't the best, Eddie? That was the best part going out there, just hearing R.I. in the Boston accent telling stories. I wish I asked him about the Empire Strikes Back when he's, I saw it, and we didn't fucking know it. Then all of a sudden you find out Vader's his father. Like, shit like that. That was an awful Boston accent.
That was perfect.
No, that was RA.
It's an RA accent. Very different than a typical Boston accent, for sure. I love The Simpsons, too, when Homer's talking to Marty. He's like, I can't believe Darth Vader is Luke's father. And it spoils it for all the people waiting online. Absolutely. Like, there's a few in this tier, the top tier. But like, I think just in terms of enjoyability, rewatchability, it's probably number two on my list in terms of favorite movies, maybe three. Mm-hmm. So I'm right with you there, Ken Jack.
It's an old timer. Eddie, you're up.
You a Star Wars, Eddie?
No, I'm not a Star Wars guy. So that's why if this would have slipped, Clem, it would have fell right into your paws. But unfortunately, it didn't.
Yeah,
but
damn.
I've seen it. I've definitely seen the first one. I've seen parts of Strikes Back. Obviously respect it a lot. But with my pick, it's really between two. Godfather 2. I'm going to go with Godfather 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Eddie's dying. Or rather, Clem's dying. The Italian DNA just went crazy.
Not on my board. Not on my board.
It insists upon itself.
That's a great pick. I think it's better than the first.
Yeah, you get young De Niro. You get Hyman Roth. There's a lot going on. The Fredos. There's Godfather 2. There's a reason why people say, in their minds, it's the best sequel ever made. So I'm happy to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we compared that to Double Stuffed Oreos in the Dog Walk draft, right, Eddie? Like, it's better than the original. Original's still great, classic in itself. But I'm personally a Godfather 1 guy. I like 1, but anyone that likes 2 more, I have no beef with it. When you fucking add De Niro in and kind of you're just jumping between timelines, I think all that's cool as shit. I'm a Clemenza. That's what Clem is short for. I know people get mad when I say my name isn't. I wasn't birthed as a one name human named Clem. But my guy Clemenza isn't in the second one because they wrote him out. I think the guy was asking too much money or something like that. So they just wrote him out of the script. He was supposed to be the guy, I believe, that either traded or he might have been like Pantangeli or whatever, supposed to be Clemenza, and they had to change it all. So great pick, Ed.
That's crazy. I had no idea. Oh, by the way, just to backtrack on the Oreo thing, I think thin Oreos are actually some of the best Oreos because you get the little bit of the cream plus like more of the crunch.
Wow.
Mm.
Do you want us to leave the draft? Do you want to play? Me and Eddie can leave. We can just.
You want to play ping pong with Gooch?
I feel like I can
bow out now.
There's something about it. I feel like I can eat more thin Oreos. Like, I feel like I eat like three double stuffed, and I'm like, oh, there's a lot. Like, not like I'm full, but like, I'm just like, this is, I feel like I'm being bad doing this versus thin Oreos where I'll eat significantly more calories worth or whatever. And then I'm like, this is great. I'm basically being healthy.
Dude, when I get a thing of Oreos, it's like a big, like, family sized bag of chips. I just can't stop myself. I just go through the sleeve.
Did you know they're vegan? It's insane. So for a long time I dated a vegan girl, and we lived together, and like, that was the only thing in our house that I could eat was like vegan Oreos, where I was just like, I don't want to eat just fucking rice and bread and all this bullshit. I just like pounded Oreos, destroyed them. They're just so good.
Smitty had to do a vegan diet because I won a game of Madden against him, and he just was like, you can eat Oreos. I'm like, oh, thank God. That would have been sweet if I lost. I would have just survived on Oreos. Oreos. It's tricky too, because it's those rows. You just basically go, all right, I'm going to eat half the row here. That's all I'm going to do. And then once you pick, and you're like, well, I just got to finish the row now. Very, very dangerous fucking treat.
Did you ever do the fork thing? I keep seeing people do that, and I'm just like, I feel like it's, I can't. Like, they put the fork into the cream, and then they dip it from there. I don't know.
No.
I'm not a dipper.
I like to have my thumb submerged in that milk before I drink it. I like the milky thumb milk. You know, that's the good milk.
Something wrong sounding about that. Clem, you're up.
All right. So this, when I was doing my research, I wasn't even thinking of this one, just because I'm thinking with things with numbers at the end in terms of Godfather 2 and some stuff. And then I was like, oh, fuck, this has almost become like sneaking up there with the Godfather 2s and the Empire Strikes Back. So I'm going to go with Dark Knight. I didn't know if Ed was looking at that at two, and then Godfather came to me, but I kind of like, it's right there. So I'm going to, I saw this in IMAX at, what is it? Lincoln Center or whatever, Lincoln Square. And I still like maybe the best movie experience I've had in my life, just completely blown away from the jump with, when Joker comes in and all the different Jokers and then the school bus. And I was just like, oh fuck, we're in for a ride here. And I'm not going anywhere for the next like 2.5 hours. So, there was like a month and a half straight where Robbie Fox on My Mom's Basement, our nerd podcast, we would just end up somehow talking about The Dark Knight. It would just – conversation about like Mandalorian would somehow just bleed into a Dark Knight thing. We're like, this is the 6th week in a row we talk about this goddamn movie. It's so fucking good. So that's a layup for me since it's technically the second of the Dark Knight series, right? Batman Begins is first.
Yeah, and I would say like arguably the best comic book movie of all time at number 3 is by no means a stretch. Like that is – amazing, a great value pick, I think.
That made me think.
What's the fun?
Is Dark Knight?
What do you mean?
Is Dark Knight a remember where you were movie? Like, do you remember the theaters you guys were at? Because I do. Club does. Gooch and Kenjack. Do you remember like everything?
Sayville Movie Theater. Yeah.
Yep. I was in Milford, Ohio. Saw it with my dad.
I think you're right. That's a great call, Eddie.
It's a good call. Real good call.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you where I was on 9/11, probably in class or something, but like I know where I was when Dark Knight happened.
bigger American cultural moment, 9/11 or the Dark Knight releasing in theaters.
I remember that for sure, though. Gooch, you have back-to-back.
Okay, my first one, going off of franchise, not the second direct sequel. It'll be third in the franchise. But I think it's the greatest trilogy of all time. Perfect cap. It's Return of the King. Yeah. Lord of the Rings. It's a not my favorite from the trilogy. I'm actually a Fellowship guy. I love origin films. I love the building of that universe. But Return of the King is just fantastic. And once you get to the end of the watch, you're like, you're just like you're on your sofa, you're on your fucking bed, standing up, cheering, like you love it.
Great ending too.
Yeah.
What's his name? Lurt's getting killed.
People say it's a little homoerotic.
Chill. That's they what loved, makes it
they
so
loved
good.
They loved each other.
I forget, Clem, are you an anti Lord of the Rings guy? I know Robbie is, but
I would sometimes joke about like doing the Clerks thing, right? Yeah. Where it's just about work. But I grew up actually really liking Lord of the Rings. I read the books. I read The Hobbit. I liked like the cartoons, even though they were really fucking creepy looking back now. And I was excited about the movies when they came out. It's a long set of films, which I don't think is a hot take, but it's, you know, people love them. it's, I don't, I think I kind of like dropped out of them a little bit. I should probably rewatch them now. I mean, I watch all these Game of Thrones and shit like that. I think Lord of the Rings is due for a rewatch. I didn't watch the Prime series, but that was pretty fucking good, right?
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, solid. Really solid. Yeah. Eddie, are you a Lord of the Rings guy? I don't think I've ever talked to you about Lord of the Rings.
No, I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy either, but I'm stunned that Robbie is not a Lotto guy.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, no, he hates Lord of the Rings. He refuses to watch them. Like he's like, oh, I don't like this sort of thing. It's like you love Game of Thrones.
Like, neither is Castellani, which is surprising. True. Castellani, not a Lord of the Rings guy.
I held off from Game of Thrones for so long because I was kind of an anti Lord of the Rings guy. Not that I hated it; it just wasn't my thing. It wasn't my cup of tea. I think I went to the first one, and I remember being like, I want to say I was dozing off, which I know sounds impossible, but it just, I don't know. I just wasn't into it. But I'm happy I did Game of Thrones, so maybe I should give it another chance.
Speaking of length and Disney World, which we started the pod with, going down to, because you guys are about to make the trip.
We are.
I used to make the trip with my family almost yearly down to Disney World, and we would drive down in a van. We had one of those vans, had the new tricked out little pop down DVD player. Yes. My parents would just pop those in one after the next, and I think by the end, it was like, I only had like 2 hours left on the drive. when it was a long ass drive. So yeah, no, those movies got me through a lot.
I got that. A good case for Lord of the Rings. Like, I kind of want to get my kids into Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Just to have something that could just plug them in and just let them just fucking turn the brain off. I like that.
And then I'll go more. This is one of the more recent ones on my list. I might be able to get it in the third, but I really want it because it's one of my favorite movies ever. Blade Runner 2049, is the, much like Top Gun, like decades later sequel, which you don't see too often. Very well done. I think it's maybe the best looking movie I've ever seen. Fucking fantastic. Ryan Gosling's amazing in it. Ana de Armas breaking out. Mackenzie Davis in it as well. I actually just watched like a nice little breakdown of Denny breaking down that scene where she enters her body.
Yeah.
It was really cool how they shot that. I just love that movie. It's my like go-to if I come home like really drunk at 2 a.m. want to stay up for a couple more hours or an hour or so. Just flip it on and just watch it.
Pop it on. That's another good long one too. But also one where that's not one I would try to get the kids into. That's way too dreary of a movie.
What, you don't think they'll be able to handle when Jared Leto pops the droid out of the socket and then just kills it right in front of
about that.
Jeez. That's actually like perfect Jared. It's the perfect Jared Leto role.
That was like the best movie or best performance he's had in a long time.
Like, because he's just a weirdo and he can actually be a weirdo in small doses there. You can...
My little guy, my 4-year-old AJ, he's kind of a savage. He's definitely like more of a man than I am already. I was watching Last of Us. I go, buddy, you got to get out of here. It's a scary zombie show. And he just like, no, I'm going to watch it. And then it was one of the many shows where there were no zombies. And he's just like, Dad, where are the zombies right now? What the heck's going on here? I'm like, dude, I wouldn't have even left my room if my parents said they were watching a scary show. And listen, anyone listening, I know it's not zombies. It's infected. I'm just throwing out some things here to make it an easy conversation.
Yeah. No, I hate the people that try to correct on that. It's like, yeah, they're not zombies. It's a zombie show. It's a zombie show. I'm sorry. It just is. That's the fact of the matter.
So maybe Blade Runner. Maybe I'll get him into that. And Lord of the Rings. We're going to have ourselves a hell of a night tonight.
Clem, you're actually back up.
All right. So I thought Gooch was going with this when he was talking about like one of the newer ones. But I got to go Infinity War. I'm going back-to-back comic series here. But this fucking movie, man, it just got in my brain and I was just upset. This for me is another theater movie. I remember where I was for it. And it was me and my brother went to Dobbs Ferry, the theater. It's one of those ones, not Alamo, bring you the food. It's fucking like you get your own little like lounge almost. You get a little chair. They give you a little blanket. It's delightful, Ed. You would love it, man. And obviously Thanos, who I really was like not sure how well they were going to do it. And I honestly didn't know how they were going to bring all these superheroes together. What was the old meme? The most ambitious crossover yet. So I honestly didn't think they were going to be able to nail it because even in the previews, I was like, I don't know. It's just whenever you do something like that, it always felt disjointed. And then when I saw it, like I got the Thanos glove behind me, like the Infinity Gauntlet. It just impermeated my brain. And I still tweet Thanos fucking gifts out to this day, even though it's like 6 years old at this point.
Clem, I'm glad you are Infinity War over Endgame.
Yes.
So it does change by the date on me, but this is like the empire of the series, so that's why I end up going Infinity War when it's all said and done.
I don't think it's close. I think Infinity War is like a full letter grade better than Endgame. Not that Endgame's bad. I just think Infinity War, it just fucking paced. And like the pacing on that movie, they just whip straight. Like they were whipping around. Everything works.
Bunch of locations, too.
The dialogue is all like, it all works. The comedy, Marvel's comedy has been shit on lately, but the comedy in that one works very fucking well. All the characters are written correctly. Didn't they bring in like the writing teams from each of like the individual franchises, yes, too, to like work on each character's dialogue? And you can tell. It's awesome.
That was the biggest thing with like, as I'm a Guardians fan, and you just tell that was James Gunn who put those lines in their mouths, not someone else who like, you know, did it. And the Russo brothers are fine at it, but kind of just going off the same. Thanos comes in, washes Hulk right off the bat, kills Loki, and then you're just like, oh fuck, we're playing at a, like the stakes are higher than they've ever been. Yeah. It's like, this shit's real now. And he says no resurrections. You're like, motherfucker. And obviously, spoiler alert, the guy does come back, but nonetheless, that's just comic books for
do
you.
Do we need a spoiler alert on that one?
I want to rewatch. That scene where he just demolishes the Hulk is so awesome in retrospect. So like, that was so cool.
That's my only complaint about the movie is they fucked up Hulk. Like they just completely made him a bitch. Like,
yeah. But although that's what does he do? He does a cool wrestling move on him. I forget. I don't know if he's super.
Dude, he knees him like into the ribs and he's like, boom. He's like boxing him. He looks like Muhammad Ali.
I remember Robbie wrote a blog after it came out where they had like a UFC fighter break down his moves and like how incredible Thanos was at just beating a guy, like a CGI dude. That was the one thing that did suck. I feel like they kind of had to nerf Hulk or take him out of the arena because Thanos wouldn't have won if you're just going with Hulk there. And he's just like, what the fuck are these nerds talking about right now?
Does Broly get enough credit for his performance in that? What?
Would you say sorry?
Go ahead, Eddie.
Did you consider Age of Ultron at all?
I did not. I will say it's gotten better as I watched it after WandaVision or during WandaVision, and it's much better than I thought it was. I hated that movie when it came out, and now it aged very well. I actually just said that today with Robbie.
James Spader Ultron was a good. He's a good
Spader. Villain. Yeah, when he's singing like the snow strings song, thing. Yeah. Oh, I think that's great.
Yeah, and that little scene at the end of Age of Ultron where him and Vision have like the back and forth, that's an awesome scene.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, but other than that, there's other parts where
it's
with Viz. The Gooch, by the way, I wrote a blog saying that did Infinity War come out the same year as Black Panther?
2018, right? So
I said I thought Infinity War should have been the one that got all the like nominations and stuff like that, and I thought Brolin should have been, I thought Thanos should have just been like best character, like how was like the entire time he's on the screen you just have this presence with you in the theater. So I wrote a whole thing about that, so I'm with you on that for sure.
Eddie, you're up.
All right, so it's so much different drafting against you guys than the guys here because, like, I kind of know where they're going to go, and this is all over the place, you know, because it's just a fresh room. So I know what I want. I know what I want for my five movies. It's just, you know, a matter of how I get them. So right here I'm going to take another heavy hitter, and we're going with Arnold. We're going with T2.
Fuck.
Damn it, dude. I really thought I was getting him on the turn.
Yeah.
Shit. I knew Ken Jack was going to go that way, too.
God damn it.
Yeah.
That's a great pick, Eddie.
Amazing pick.
Yeah. And, like, listen, I made the mistake against my guys. I passed on T2. I went with someone else when we did this draft. I wasn't going to make that mistake again. So I'm happy to have it. T2 is, by many regards, is like a true sequel goes, is like one of the best of all time. So.
Wait, there are other podcasts at Barstool that do drafts?
Yeah. But one of the greatest things about T2 also is just like James Cameron is the king of sequels that are better than the original. Even if you look at Aliens, which is also is going to be my next pick, but just to throw that out there so I'm not tipping it. I mean, he did a bunch of other movies where it's just the sequel is as good or better than the original. And that just T2, dude. When that opening scene, his opening scene is Arnold in the first Terminator where he goes and he beats up Bill Paxton and all those other dudes. Awesome. The scene where he beats up the bikers, so much cooler. He like throws them onto the grill and like burns them, and they try to like they beat him up with the pool stick. He just trashes them. So great. Robert Patrick as T-1000. Dude, the greatest pieces of movie trivia ever, him shooting without blinking, like teaching himself how to do that, or wincing. Like it's such a good movie, man. Dude, damn.
That effect, even when I was a kid and it had been out for, what, probably 15 years at that point, that effect of him coming through the jail cell is still blew my mind. I was like, how the fuck did they do? Like, that looks like real. Like, how did he go through the jail cell?
As the resident old on the podcast, I actually remember when the movie came out and when those special effects were like, they were just previewing them and people are like, what the fuck is this James Cameron doing? Like, it blew that and T2 and the Michael Jackson Black or White video. I just remember seeing those two things and being like, how did they morph those people together? They're black, they're white, they're Asian, they're, you know, it was one of the craziest things. And like, I feel like, I haven't watched it recently. I feel like the special effects still hold up today, right?
Yes, yeah, they do. So,
that's crazy, man.
That's also partially because James Cameron very into using real prop guns, like shooting blanks and shit. And that like just feels like it adds like another element to it. It's just so cool. Man, damn. So many great fight scenes in that movie too.
And the chase scene too.
Yeah, the chase scene's great. Even the scene where she breaks out of like the prison. Like it's just, or the psych ward, whatever it was.
Jesus, I thought this came out in 93, maybe 95. This came out in 91.
Yeah.
No special of, oh my God, tip of the cap, James Cameron.
Yeah, that chase scene was so cool.
The weird take goes over the bridge. That weird take that came around in like 2015 that James Cameron was a bad director. Like, where the fuck did that come from?
The greatest blockbuster directors of all time. That is an awesome pick, Eddie. God damn you for taking it, though. That's a real, you're a real son of a bitch for that. I thought I could get it. But yeah, I'm going with Aliens as my first of my back-to-backs. Aliens is one of the best sequels, again, of any movie ever. And Ridley Scott did the first Alien movie. Alien is a horror movie through and through. It's a horror movie that happens to take place in space. James Cameron is like, hey, how about I turn this into like action sci-fi instead? And then that's what Aliens 2 was. Awesome fight scenes. Oh, that whole cast of Marines was awesome. Like Bill Paxton again, obviously because Cameron. Lance Hendrickson, right, is his name? The dude who plays the android in Aliens. A couple other really good actors and actresses in that too. Not the guy who played the main dude, but there's a lot of really good people in it. Amazing movie, great action. And then I'm back-to-backing it with Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which is my favorite of the indie franchise. There's so many great parts in that movie as well. I think particularly everything that happens in that temple of, or the Petra, like where they're doing like the, oh, you chose poorly. And again, one of the great parts about this one, they started killing Nazis and Raiders. They moved away. All of a sudden the formula didn't work no more. Then they went back to killing Nazis in The Last Crusade and all of a sudden it's working again. And it's just, it's such a great movie. And it's the last, one of the, like the last truly great, I would say adventure movies that I still will rewatch daily. Like it's such a good, that scene, even like the back and forth with him and Sean Connery is just absolutely insanely good in that movie. But yeah, I'm with Aliens and Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. And then Eddie is back up.
All right. So I'm going to go with another one that had to follow a tremendous heavy hitter of a movie. It's obviously a classic, one of an all time greats. And I'm going to take Back to the Future too, because I think they did a great job following it up. I might like it more than the original. It's close. It's close. You got Biff, the Almanac. They predicted the Cubs World Series. There's just a lot going on that, like,
yeah. I really love.
Thank you, Eddie. We were talking about it last week or two weeks ago. Jeff was trying to tell me that Back to the Future 2 is not that good. Or a big, massive drop-off from the first one. I was like, the first one I like better, but I don't think it's a big drop-off at all.
No. I think first it's
one's
very
a better
close.
Movie. Second
it's
one's more close. Fun.
What do you say? Sorry?
When I was a kid, I think I liked two more because of, like, the cool, like, tech, like the shoes, the jackets, the hoverboard, like, all that, like, the idea of, like, getting a sports almanac. Like, everyone has thought that hypothetical in their head. Like, oh, if I had a fucking sports almanac from 2050. Yeah. Oh my God, I'd be so rich. Yeah. I would just be Biff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like when you say Back to the Future, I think you're like, tell me, like, what do you think of when you think Back to the Future other than just the characters? And it's like Time Machine, but then I feel Hoverboard and Almanac are like in the top 3 to 5 of everyone's list. And those are all from 2. And now that we're at the point now where 2 put a bullet in my brain was 8 years ago in terms of the year they went to. I think it was 2015. It was like, holy fuck, is this what the future is really going to look like? And then once we got to 2015, it's like, yeah, half this shit wasn't even close. Like, we haven't gotten a real hoverboard. We put wheels on fucking these toys and they called them hoverboards. I'm still angry about that all these years later.
We got the shoes though.
We did get the moon boots.
We did get the moon boots.
So, and they predicted the Cubs.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's interesting too. You say that, Gooch. I wasn't able to listen, but I did see the graphic. You guys did worse recently. Then I saw Jeff put Back to the Future 3. I don't think that's that bad either. Obviously,
3
compared to the first two, there is a drop off. But hey, Christopher Lloyd, he said he wanted to do a love story. Christopher Lloyd deserves a love story at one point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. The Western thing didn't totally vibe with me, but yeah, it's not like an unwatchably bad movie.
I liked it. I liked the Western campiness. Like, that was, it was fun.
There's a movie I'd love to recommend to you called Wild Wild West. I think you'd enjoy it.
I did like Wild Wild West. We've gone over this. I like that movie.
The movie that kept Will Smith out of The Matrix. I still like when they kind of asked Will Smith about it, he's like, yeah, it's not totally the reason why. Part of it is that I had a sit down with the Wachowskis and they were trying to explain to me how the Matrix would work. And like, they're essentially like pantomiming it. So like Lana Wachowski's just sitting there going like, okay, so like you're going to get shot at and you're going to go like, and Will Smith's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So that's partially the Wachowski's fault for not pitching it correctly versus just him being obsessed with doing Wild Wild West. Kenneth Branagh. A lot of bad movies that man has been in.
Great
film. So, Clem, you're back up.
Yes. All right. I have a lot of ways I can go here. You know what? I'm going to go. Fuck it. I'm going. Eddie, you've talked about it in the past. We've all had those things that are maybe a little closer to our heart, and you don't think anyone's going to take them. Someone takes them, and it just ruins your draft, if not like your day or week. So I know this probably ain't going to go to Gooch in the wraparound, but I'm still taking it because I need to have it on my board. I'm going Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Mm.
I personally don't think the movie before – I mean, we could spoil. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Die Hard 2. Die Hard 1 is my favorite movie of all time. I think it's the best movie of all time. I think it's the best comedy of all time. I think it's the best action movie of all time. Whatever you want to put under love story, it's the best of that. Christmas movie, sure, why not? We're not going to debate that right now. The Die Hard 1 is by far my favorite movie. And the way they brought 3 and they fucking throw it back, you got fucking Simon who ends up being Peter Gruber, Hans's brother, and you're tying it to 1. And then just Samuel L. Jackson as a, you know, New Yorker, you get to see all the New York City shit. I just loved everything about it. It has a lot of good lines and whatnot in it. So it's one of those things that probably could have saved to the 4th or 5th, but I wouldn't be able to sleep if I didn't have Die Hard with a Vengeance on my board.
Jeremy Irons, right? Was Hans Gruber's. Yeah. Great Rough. Voice. All-time voice.
Jeremy Irons. I love
from Mother Lion King.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh.
Dude, him as Ozymandias.
Yeah, he's really good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh. Super, super
I liked
good
him man. As – I know people hate the Snyderverse, but I really liked him as Alfred, too.
Yeah, he was a solid Alfred, all things considered. One of the few bright spots from those. Gooch has back-to-back.
Oh, I'm up? Shit.
Back-to-back picks.
I was looking at this news. Steven Yeun just joined Marvel Studios. He's going to be in the Thunderbolts.
Oh.
So going from Invincible to, yeah, that.
Oh, man, Invincible needs to come back. Shit, that's so good. I forget. You didn't watch Invincible, right, Clem? I think I was talking to you about it, and you were like.
That's on the list.
Yeah.
So I finally caught up on The Boys, which was fucking so good. I love The Boys more than almost any Marvel shit at this point.
Oh, it's definitely better than any Marvel show.
Like. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, by far. It's one of my favorite shows, period. So good stuff.
Would we – so I'm going to throw this one out there. It can be shot down. Mad Max Fury Road.
That counts, I think. I think that counts. It takes place after this events. Or wait, no, because it's technically a reboot.
It's like it's a not. Reboot. Yeah, I'm looking at like George Miller's comments, and he literally will not say one way or the other.
Because he's Mad Max. Like Tom Hardy's Mad Max, and he's not – and obviously Mel Gibson plays Mad Max.
He says he's like a folklore character. So like –
there's like no a different iteration. So like that soft reboots, I guess. Fuck. I don't know. How do you guys feel about it? Because this is something, if you put on the graphic and you put it out and people are like, oh, it's not a sequel. Like that's what I'm.
That's the question. Do you want that? I don't care either way. I think I was looking at a list to like get the names out and I saw it there. But if you do want to just have your mentions being like, shut the fuck up, guys. Shut the fuck up. I'm cool with it, Ed.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I don't know a ton of the history behind it and whatnot and when it came into place. But if you guys – I'm fine with whatever you rule, Kendrak. I support unilateral decisions, so you make it.
Here's my decision as commissioner is that I will let Robbie choose and just – we will give him the forewarning that I feel like people, when they see it on the graphic, will bitch and moan. And that'll be your burden to bear.
Dude, I keep looking at these articles to find out if it's a sequel, and then there's like a thousand words. It's like these fucking cookbooks. Yes, it's like one of those like cooking recipes. They just keep talking. There's just so much talking, and then just answer the question. Just give me a yes or no.
It's fucking worse. Like, yeah,
there's another one on here.
My grandma smuggled this fucking pie recipe out of the Holocaust. Like, shut up, dude.
I've got like three on
here. Just give me the ingredients. That's all I need.
Fuck, I got like three on here that could go either way. Because I also have Logan. Does Logan count?
Don't tip your picks, but yes, does Logan definitely count?
Then I'm taking Logan. I'm going to take Logan. I think it's the best send-off for a character we've ever seen. It's perfect. And it's really the only thing that's giving me pause on Deadpool 3, because I don't want them to bring him back and kind of lessen that sacrifice at the very end. I mean, you can't get much better than Logan. You really can't.
Do you ever watch any other James Mangold movies, Eddie? So, like, I don't know if you've seen Logan, but he also made Ford vs. Ferrari. He did Copland, great movie. 310 to Yuma. I'm trying to think, there's a couple more on the list, but he's a good director.
Really? No, Ford vs. Ferrari, I had a pin in it to see it, but I just didn't make it happen. I wish I could get that ball.
It's a great dad movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the great dad movies. Have you ever seen any other of the James Mangold ones, Clem? So thinking we're talking like, obviously Logan, but then like Copland, 310 to Yuma, and Ford v Ferrari, stuff like that.
Yeah, I did see Copland.
I like Copland a lot. I think it's a very well slept on movie.
I have to see Ford versus Ferrari. And then Logan was a good pick. I was being beckoned upstairs, but that was like as grounded like a superhero movie as you ever see, basically. And they fucking
violent too.
Yeah, so very violent.
Such a cool take on the character. Like the adamantium is just eating him out from the inside. Like it's so fucking cool.
So is he gonna do a good job?
Wolverine was
Indiana
my favorite
Jones?
Superhero growing up.
That's what we're hoping, basically, because in my comp with it was like, hey, look, he did one of the best sign-offs of any character ever with Logan, so why couldn't he do the same thing with Indiana Jones, basically? Nice. You know what I mean? Different levels of revenance between Indiana Jones and Wolverine, but like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine was like about as iconic an actor to cast or a character thing than you could possibly get. You know, and the same thing with obviously Harrison Ford and Indy. Gooch has back to back. So,
one and more. Then my final pick. Actually, I'm pretty recent on this draft.
You have, I think, one more, don't you?
Yeah, I'm
after this.
I'm looking at my picks, and they're very recent. And I'm going to go with War for the Planet of the Apes.
It's a good movie.
I think the most slept on trilogy I can think of. Every single movie is a banger, but the third one's probably the best. Bringing in Woody Harrelson as the main villain, who he's fantastic. Especially that final scene where they're in the where he's like dying.
Yeah.
Fucking fantastic. Just looks great. Like fantastic CGI. Fucking what's his face just deserves.
Andy Serkis.
It's going to be so annoying when it's the end of like Andy Serkis is like 90 years old and they finally decide to recognize him for all the work he's done. Like he's completely like changed the movie industry and he's really never been recognized for it. Like I think he probably deserved some sort of recognition for Gollum.
Yeah.
And Two Towers, especially, like I think he deserved an Oscar nom. And I think you can make a case that he deserved a nom for his performance as Caesar. He played a fucking monkey and you thought it was a real monkey. You understand how absurd that is?
It is crazy. Because that's a concept that shouldn't translate with the Planet of the Apes in general. Like that shouldn't work now.
Yeah, I love Caesar. I love that trilogy. Yeah. Matt Reeves, that's why I have full faith in the Batman too. I think Matt Reeves is a genius in the making.
His shit in Andor was through the roof too, man. That's when I really felt like he's crushed so many other roles. But then seeing him at the end of in the Andor stuff was
the best live action acting I've ever seen him do. Or you know his face.
Yeah, he was great in that. Clem.
All right, you know we're gonna mix it up a little. We've got the kids upstairs. We're gonna throw on some Toy Story. Toy Story 3. We're gonna go with.
Yeah.
This should have been the final fucking Toy Story, in my humble opinion. They're now screwing the pooch with 5. Iger came in and looked at the books and was like, "We need some money. Smash that Toy Story button, baby. Let's get some more original toys. We'll sell some fucking barrels of monkeys. We'll sell some Slinky Dogs, and we're gonna get this stock back up to where it needs to be." It kills me because again, like I love Toy Story. Like that's another movie that blew my mind. I think it was 95 when I found out that came out like the same time as Lion King. I'm like, what the fuck? Lotso's a great villain. And then, you know, those when you think they're going to die at the end, you're about to cry. And then they hit you with the tears when Andy gives the toys away. Just an all around fucking movie that hits every fucking emotion in your body.
One of the best endings of a trilogy ever. And then they're just like, we need more money. So Toy Story 4, just lessening the effect of that all-time great ending. It's just, it pisses me off to this day. Which, like, Toy Story 4 is fine. It's just like, but there was no point.
Yep, that was Jordan hitting the shot in Utah. That was Toy Story 3, and then The Wizards is 4, and then whatever the fuck's coming in 5, the Charlotte Hornet years.
Drafting Okafor or whatever, yeah.
Call Me Brown. Yeah,
Call Me Brown. Yeah, that's him drafting Call Me Brown.
Can I say this? I get a little upset that everyone just skips over 2.
2's good. It's just like, it's the start and the end, specifically of these two. It's like, I feel like it occupies a DMZ. Between a great opening and a great closing act. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought, you
know. It's very rare that the – yeah.
Sorry, you go, Clem?
No, I was just saying it's very rare where 2 kind of gets lost in the mix of the great starter and closer, because as I think we've seen in all our picks, usually 2 is right there with 1, and then 3 is where the drop-off happens. 2 was actually in the mix for me as well for this. I mean, if you want to take it, go ahead. But it's a very fine movie in itself. I think maybe the villain is the one thing where it doesn't hit as hard as 3, because Lotso is just a motherfucker. He gives us big guys a bad name. They probably like Clem and Eddie seem nice. They're probably like Lotso in the back. He's just scheming against them.
He's like prime Dylan Patansis. That's Toy Story 2.
Yes.
That's true.
Prospector Pete, he fucking turned his back on him. He took out his little fucking pickaxe and he closed the vent, dude. That was evil.
I can't argue with that. If we're being honest here, they're all playing for fucking, you know, silver when it comes to Sid, who we can't draft because it's part one. That's like the epitome of the sick fuck right there.
That was dark.
That was real dark.
Still one of my favorite pieces of trivia is that Toy Story 2 almost got erased. And
all time.
So close to being gone forever. I think we literally just talked about this last week too. Who's up next? I think so Toy Story 2. They're basically they had like a program where they're making the movie on, essentially, and they did it all, and then some other error happened and it started erasing the entire movie that they had up to this point, which is like 3/4 through the movie, and it erased it all, got rid of all of it. And they thought they're gonna have to start completely from scratch because they didn't have backups because it erased those two. But one woman who was on maternity leave had a backup copy that she had brought home to work on like a week previous or something. So they only lost like a week's worth of work.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Because they probably wouldn't have like financed them doing the entire thing over again, at least not to the same degree.
And that was years, right? Years of work. Years and years and years of work.
It was a lot of work. Eddie.
I can't believe they're making a fifth one.
It's just stupid.
And they're like hyping out. They're like, we're going to do something they never done before. What could you possibly do at this point?
It's nothing.
Ridiculous.
A new Spork. John Wick thing, a new Spork, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a vibrator.
Yeah. that would be the wildest thing they could do, but like they would obviously wouldn't. So
it's the Sauces Party collab. All right. I'm gonna go with Home Alone 2.
Good pick.
Lost in New York.
Yeah, I love Home Alone 2. I mean, I think you got the Duncan's toy chest. Just something about him crawling through that big-ass construction tunnel. Same thing. Like, really hard to stick the landing after one, but Home Alone 2, I like it just as much, if not better, to be honest with you.
Really? Better than the original Home Alone?
Mm-hmm.
Eddie's a big Trump guy.
MAGA Ed.
the talk boy, the Tim Curry as the hotel manager, awesome. Rob Schneider, really good in that very limited role, which is like perfect for him. I agree with you. Very solid sequel that was very difficult. Must have been very difficult to live up to.
How rich was his family, by the way? His granddad had that big like brownstone up on like the Upper East, and then their house obviously in Chicago.
McAllister's had massive. They had blood money.
Just like, old money McAllister.
Yeah. Blood money McAllister's. They are
part of the Irish mob. Too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Still, I think, I know Clem, you'll probably watch this too. The Home Alone, how movies are made on Netflix. Awesome.
So good.
This is one of my favorite episodes.
That blew my mind when they filmed Home Alone 1 in like a gym or whatever. I was kind of mad that the Silver Tuna wasn't this actual place where they filmed it. I think we said that on the dog walk draft. We said watch the movies that made us at least 150 different times. But to anyone listening to this, go watch the movies that made us on Netflix and the toys that made us as well. It's nostalgia. I always thought I liked Home Alone 2. I'm a one guy. It's like a carbon copy where you kind of like do the credit card where the original is 100 and you still got like 90%. It's like the bad guys are still doing the same old dumb shit. He's hitting them with the angels with filthier souls. He's hitting kind of the same pranks as the first one with kind of some remixes. Like you said, the Talk Boy was an absolute game changer. We had that and we were doing just all kinds of
Pigeon Lady
was the new Old Man Marley. So yeah, there's a lot of, it hits a lot of the same things in the new film.
All right. For my pick, my back-to-back to end out, my picks anyway. I'm going to start with Mission Impossible Fallout. Mission Impossible Fallout, I think, is one of the greatest franchise entries. For it to come at number six and be the best one in the franchise is incredible. It's one of the greatest action movies I think I've ever seen in my life. It's one I saw in theaters four times, I want to say. Yeah, four total times. Great IMAX experience, too. Awesome still on rewatch. Great fight scenes, obviously. Great action sequences. Awesome, I would say, villains because they brought back the one from Rogue Nation, and he was really good still. And then adding in Henry Cavill, obviously incredible. I really, truly love Mission Impossible Fallout. I think it's one of my all-time favorites. And I'm going to round out with another Tom Cruise movie, Top Gun Maverick. Top Gun Maverick, not in the same vein as Fallout, but like that movie coming out like almost 40 years like after the fucking original, and just like being as good and as much of a culture moment as it was, like that, it seems impossible, but like it is just that good. It is so fucking fun. It was one of the funner blockbusters I'd seen in a very long time, probably since Mission Impossible Fallout. So Mission Impossible Fallout and Top Gun Maverick to round out my picks before going back to Eddie.
I can't think of a movie in recent memory that's had better word of mouth than Top Gun Maverick, because before that movie, everybody was like, why are we doing this? why are we doing Top Gun 40 years later again? And then it comes out and everybody's like, no, you got to see this shit. You got to see this shit, especially on a big screen. Fucking awesome.
You know how they say, like, I haven't heard a bad word? I didn't hear anything that was even a good word about it. I heard nothing but great words. Like, my timeline was filled with it. I know Eddie was, like, a diehard who had to, like, trying to just get everyone he could to see it in the theater. Fucking Steven Spielberg was sucking off Tom Cruise for saving the movie industry. Yeah. it's amazing, too. Only Tom Cruise could make that movie work, because every other actor that was big in the 80s, 40 years later, wouldn't look like basically the same fucking dude. It's great. Everything about Tom Cruise.
I could argue he's better looking now.
Yes. Yeah.
At least in that movie, maybe not like in person. He looks a little strange in person. His Botox sticks out a little bit more, but in the movie, he looks fantastic.
It looks great. And the new cast is awesome too.
God damn.
That opening scene when he's flying that one plane. Holy shit. He's pushing it to the limit. God damn.
Awesome. That was awesome. I hope, Eddie, you've seen Top Gun Maverick, right?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, too, you're talking about beforehand. I want to say there might be an LCB that I was on in, like, 2019. I was like, I don't know, guys. Do we need this? I'm fucking happy because I needed that shit. That shit was awesome. That's a great pick.
And I don't like the original, really, which is the thing. Like, Top Gun 1, I'm just like, this is just, like, kind of cool 80s schlock or whatever. But, like, it's Top Gun Maverick is a legitimately awesome movie. It's crazy.
Agreed. They got my parents to the theater.
Where are you? Sizing up Tom Cruise's Botox in person, Gooch?
If you just like, because I'll have to pull like images off Getty, and like you'll just scroll through those red carpet images, and then you'll just kind of see like his face is a little bloated from.
Yeah, HD does no older people any favors. That's just one of those things that we advanced too far.
He's not bad looking by any means. It's just like you can tell he's had work quite a bit of work done.
Including his middle tooth, which is still one of the weirdest things in the world. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. If you put a line directly down Tom Cruise's face, essentially because of the way he got his dental surgery done, because his front teeth are really fucked up, his teeth start like here. Like it makes no sense. Like you've just look up Tom Cruise's middle tooth. It's just one of the weirdest things you'll ever seen. Eddie, you're back up for your last pick.
All right, so honestly, I'm between two. One is an objectively better movie. It's highly regarded, but I couldn't live with myself. I didn't take this personal one. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. You may laugh, but it was very formative to my youth years, and it's American Pie 2. I love American Pie 2.
Mm-hmm. You do. You picked this in a different draft, didn't you?
Yeah, I love it, man. I'm not kidding you. Like, there's something about that last scene when they all got the solo cups, they're all cheers and the boys, and it's like, hey, we fucking did it. We pulled off the party in our fucking Michigan lake house that there's no way we could afford painting these lesbians' houses. Like, there's, you know, it was just, there's something about it that was really beautiful.
I know you're, I knew this because I remember you picked it. Yeah, I forget which draft it was, like just teen movies or something like that. I forget which draft it was you guys did. But man, yeah. No, I respect. I have a lot of respect for that.
The OG American Pie movies had the best soundtracks of all time. Mm-hmm. They were so, because I remember we used to buy CDs all the time, and the movie soundtrack CDs were like sneaky, awesome. They were basically like now hits. Like,
oh, yeah.
And the American Pie soundtracks were just banger after banger after banger.
Yeah.
The thing about the American Pie movies for me, too, is I got lucky where it was right at my age. So they are graduating the year I was graduating. Oh. They were just going home. So it was like, and that movie in particular, I'm like, what the fuck? I just worked at my dad's store or something. I didn't like paint lesbian houses and see them like making out with you. Like, what the fuck? So you got a little FOMO, even though it's such an unrealistic thing that anyone could have experienced in their life. But what else in that? That's Bandcamp, right? We actually get to see Bandcamp, which when Petey is playing the trumpet. That's like a funny, or he's playing the trombone. There's a couple other like good jokes in there. Stifler's mom is back, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like the lake house or something. So I feel like there's a lot of good gags. It was on my list. That it was on my list. I like that pick.
Good. Yeah.
Third Stifler's Eye Blind in this, Sugar Ray, Blink 182. Oh.
That's a time fire. That's when you meet little Stifler. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn. That's, I think that's one where it may not do, it's not going to do any favors on the graphic or whatever, but like, I respect the reasoning.
I think our fan base will definitely respect that.
We'll see. Clem, your last pick.
All right. So I have a lot that I could have went with here. I don't love doing it just because it's going to make my board very heavy towards the genre, but I don't care. Guardians 2 is my favorite non-Avengers film. My favorite non-Avengers Marvel film. And I don't know if it's a thing because me and the kids like watching it together, but I think it's, I don't know. I think it's much better than Guardians 1 personally, which I had, this take.
I think that's a very rare take.
Yeah. I had this take in the holster for the Marvel draft, and I'm just going to bring it out here on you guys. And then I'll bring it back whenever Robbie comes, and I'll probably take it around earlier because now everyone knows what I like. But I don't know. I just like the villain more. I like the music more. And I just like the overall story more. So Gamora is not a complete bitch. So Guardians 2, that's 3 out of 5 star comic book movies. But a lot of the stuff on my list here is other comic book movies. So
Clint W. I do love Guardians 2. I think I like it more than one also, which is there a take I don't share often because people love the first Guardians. And trying to say 2 might be better. People don't like that. But I love 2. Like, I fucking love 2.
Kurt Russell was awesome. Great. He was a great, great villain.
Ego the Living Planet. Like, only James Gunn could pull off a fucking villain like that.
Right? I don't like Ronin. I am not a Ronin guy in 1. So that's why it's like –
that's fair.
That's why I'm able to kind of just pivot to 2. I've made this take a few times on Twitter, and then I just mute the conversation. Sure, I did that. I got everyone all riled up. So it's good to know I got at least one person in my corner.
You know what scene was really cool was when fuck, what's Michael Rooker's character's name? Yondu. Yondu gets his helmet back and he's walking through the ship and they're playing like
Southern Nights by Glenn Campbell.
No.
Isn't it?
No.
That's when they're in the camp. Southern Nights is when they're in the camp.
Yeah.
They keep blowing people. And he's raccoons blowing people up.
Yeah. That scene where he's just like walking through the catwalk and like the needles going around just killing everybody. That's sick. That's great, great scene.
And the final fight with the chain.
Yes, the chain playing.
The chain. I'm Mary Poppins, yo. And then it's like and then his death is like a real. It fucks me up, man. And then Cat Stevens plays another like those songs aren't as like poppy hits, you know, current day as like the American Pie 2 soundtrack was at the time. But you listen to that soundtrack, man, and it fucking takes you on a journey. So
can't go without mentioning the opening too with Baby Great Groot opening. And Electro Light ELO. Mr. Blue Sky.
That was a great scene too. Damn. And a lot of really funny moments too. That's the one where Drax does the line where he's like, if I stand completely still, like I disappear or something like that. A lot of good funny moments. Gooch, last pick of the draft.
There's so many good options left on the board. Surprising for how much people like to shit on sequels. There's quite the pool to select from.
My only regret is not getting Rush Hour 2, to be honest. Like on my board right now, that's the one that's glaring me in the face. I love Rush Hour 2.
That is a great movie, though.
I tried to remember which one was Rush Hour 2, and I'm like, it was good. That's all that matters. I know it was
that's
good.
The one where they go to Hong China. Kong. Yeah.
Or Hong Kong, yeah.
Those movies, by the way, when you rewatch them, they're so racist, but still so funny.
Problematic.
It's
so funny, though.
The jokes that Chris Tucker makes in that movie are like, you would not get away with it at all.
The one in the third one where they basically do the who's on first joke, yes, just retooled it with Asian people's names. And he's like, who? I'm me. No, you.
Yeah. Dude, that was so funny, though, those movies still.
Oh, my God. I'm glad Chris Tucker is making a comeback, too. I don't know if you saw it. Like, he's going to be in that Air movie. Which I feel like I haven't seen Chris Tucker in a decade.
I saw him and Ben Affleck were like hanging out at the All-Star game, and I was like, oh, fuck, let's go, Chris Tucker. He wasn't he like a ambassador for the U.S. or something like that? And Smokey was an all-time great character. Friday 2 would have been on this list and drafted if Chris Tucker was in Friday 2, but he wasn't, and I think the whole franchise was hurt because of it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Actually, I'm gonna add some variety here because I think we might have done all male-led movies, which isn't a problem, but it is very funny. And I'm going to go Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Good sequel.
Which I fucking love that movie. I love that movie. It's so campy. It's so much better than the first one, by the way. Fuck the first one.
They have people that can actually sit
I'm not a Meryl Streep guy, so get that out there. and I'm a big Lily James guy, and Lily James has never been hotter. Then you get fucking Colin Firth,
all those Sarsgaard, dudes, and not forcing them to sing.
Bronson,
yeah,
I love it. I love it. You can't beat ABBA. Mm-hmm. You really can't.
ABBA's great. Like I could listen to them every day.
That's, I love that movie.
I've been on a big Paramore kick lately, and I tweeted earlier today. I was just like, they should do the Super Bowl. Like ABBA could do the Super Bowl.
I saw that. You know what I think they should do? They should get like six punk bands from the early 2000s. Yeah. Just have them whip around and do different like punk hits. Basically like a
Sum 41 and Paramore.
Like when you go out to a bar and they'll play like punk hits, like alt rock hits from the early 2000s, and the bar just goes nuts for like an hour.
Okay.
They should do that.
You got a live actual band perform, not like doing like the mini performance thing. It's like you got Paramore, let's say Blink-182.
Yeah, Blink-182. You get
like if Sum 41 was there, I think that's cool. I don't know how you guys feel about Sum 41.
I don't know which of their songs they could do.
There's like one is the problem. All right, good. Perfect. What's another good pop punk from that era?
Newfound Glory.
Good Charlotte.
Yellow
Good Charlotte.
Newfound Glory, yeah, for sure. Shit, man.
American Hi-Fi. They're more rock, though.
Yeah. I think you need like the biggest name brand pop punk guys. Like Blink-182 level, which is like Paramore, I think, is like in the more modern era of that, I think at least. Damn, I would love that. I think a lot of people would too, because people are like a wider variety of people like pop punk than you might think. Like you might just be thinking, like a lot of people think like, oh, that's just like you know, tweener like white people music. It's not. It's like a wide variety of people are really into that type of music. All right, so here's our picks. I have Empire Strikes Back, Aliens, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Mission Impossible Fallout, and Top Gun Maverick. Eddie, you have Godfather Part 2, T2, Back to the Future 2, Home Alone 2, and American Pie 2. You picked all twos.
Deuces. Eddie Deuce.
Nothing but twos. Clem, you got The Dark Knight, Infinity War, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Toy Story 3, Guardians 2, Gucci, you have Return of the King, Blade Runner 2049, Logan, War for the Planet of the Apes, and Mamma Mia 2. I think really good picks from all
Mamma
of us.
Mamma Mia, here we go again.
I had like eight other picks that I would have been very happy getting too. It's crazy the depth of this. Like you
throw
said,
out some, throw out some honorable mentions.
Endgame, Return of the Jedi, Rocky, I was going to say 4.
Creed.
Yes, Rocky Creed. 4, baby. Rocky 4 is the best one.
I love Rocky 4 is like a straight up American propaganda movie, but like that's what's great about it. Yeah, I like Rocky 2 too. Yeah.
Do people give Rocky 2 shit? Because I like Rocky 2 because it gives you like half a Rocky. You get like a little bit of Rocky and then obviously he wins in the end of 2. So I was always a fan of that.
I like it better than 3.
This one was close, actually. If I didn't go Guardians, I think I was going to go Austin Powers, Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yeah, ooh. Damn.
That we need more comedies, Edward. We need more comedies in this
There's
world.
Not a lot of good comedy sequels, either.
Yeah.
Not a ton.
Damn, that would have been good.
Shrek 2, X-Men 2, Spider-Man 2, Naked Gun 2.5.
Yes.
Those are my list.
Oh, go watch Cocaine Bear this weekend. That's my assignment for both of you. It's like the funniest actual movie, not TV or anything. Just, it's so good. I think I had Skyfall, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, which I don't care for the first Captain America movie really at all.
And I love the first Captain America.
The second one's, I think, my top five Marvel movie for me. So got that there. And then The Raid 2, which is one of the greatest action movies ever, too, as well. So any other honorable mentions?
Yeah, we'll have to wrap up quick because my computer is about to die. But I had Two Towers on there, Bourne Ultimatum, Dollars Trilogy, which I would have drafted, but it falls into that Mad Max thing where it's more folklore. Like, there's never really any interconnectedness, just the guy with no name. Spider-Man 2, Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
American Psycho 2.
Mia Kunis one, yeah.
Yeah, I actually did watch that. It really is as bad as people say. One of the worst movies I've ever seen. But yeah, no, there's a lot of good stuff to choose from.
Movies be good. And yeah, again, go watch Cocaine Bear. That is, I think you guys would both dig it. I think you'd have a fun time. And not with the kids, though. That's my warning for you.
We'll see. We'll see. I think you can handle it.
All right. That's this episode of Long Take. We'll be back on Sunday with Jeff reviewing. What are we doing next week? I forget.
No idea. Probably Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, Cocaine Bear. It does come out, so I guess we could. Yeah, so we'll do Cocaine Bear. But thank you, Eddie and Clem, for joining. Make sure to listen to all the Chicago stuff. And obviously, My Mom's Basement. You guys did a big breakdown of Ant-Man and the Wasp, or Ant-Man Quantumania. So make sure to listen to that, because they went into more depth than I think we did. So make sure to check that out.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
Shine is the number one frozen fruit bar brand in America, and once you try them, it's easy to see why. Their fruit bars and mini fruit pops are made with real fruit or fruit juice using simple ingredients you can pronounce. That means no high fructose corn syrup and no artificial colors or flavors. Outshine bars are gluten-free and even a good source of vitamin C. And the flavor lineup? It's stacked. We're talking strawberry, mango, coconut, watermelon, pineapple, cherry, you name it, there's something for whatever you're craving. You've got classic fruit bars, mini fruit pops, and fruit blends that swirl multiple flavors together. Think pina colada, cherry limeade, and more. Find your new favorite refreshing snack, Outshine, at retailers nationwide.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea.
Best part? Every Can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.